JFK was still just barely alive when he was brought into Parkland Hospital for emergency treatment after being shot. Not coherent or treatable, but his heart was beating for several minutes after he arrived. Against state law, the Secret Service insisted on illegally transporting his body after he expired in Texas following unsuccessful emergency treatment, which included a front-facing tracheotomy directly above a bullet wound identified as an entry wound by the operating doctor, Malcolm Perry. Malcolm Perry left Texas soon after the assassination. Another ER doctor in the room with Perry, Robert McClelland, says of Perry, quote, "He did say to me that someone had come up to him and cautioned him that he shouldn't say anything. You know, keep his mouth shut." End quote. It was illegal to remove a body from a Texas hospital without performing a post-mortem examination of the body. The forensic pathologist at Parkland, Earl Rose, insisted that he perform the examination before the removal of the body, stating that a, quote, "Texas autopsy would have assured a tight chain of custody on all the evidence," end quote. According to Secret Service agent Clint Hill, Secret Service agents came to an agreement with Rose that they could remove the body as long as they had a medical doctor accompany the body on its journey to Washington, D.C. The president's personal physician, George Berkeley, was to be that medical doctor. Although Berkeley signed JFK's death certificate, he was never asked to testify before any investigative commission, despite making himself available. Years later, after a literally unbelievable but fully documented tragedy of errors occurred during the autopsy and investigation, and it was clear to Berkeley that he would never be asked to testify, Berkeley asked his lawyer to contact the House Senate Committee on Assassinations and tell them that, quote, "he had never been interviewed and that he has information in the Kennedy assassination indicating that others beside Oswald must have participated," end quote. George Berkeley, personal physician to three presidents, was ignored again by the HSCA, never interviewed by any commission, and died in 1991. Back in 1963, the body was flown from Dallas to Washington, D.C., and then to Maryland, where an autopsy was performed at Bethesda Naval Hospital. James Humes performed the autopsy. Humes, the same doctor who received a fourth bullet from James Young and Thomas Mills that disappeared, says that after the autopsy, he was so upset that blood from his gloves got on his autopsy notes that he literally threw all of his notes and his original autopsy report, which didn't have blood on it, into the fireplace at his home, and then wrote a second autopsy report, the now official autopsy report, from memory, without any of his original notes. Humes would go on to be connected to a third set of missing evidence. The identity of the brain is overwhelmingly disputed as well. Eyewitnesses say that the nearly intact brain in the autopsy photos can't belong to JFK, since it is not destroyed, like the ruined brain which primary witnesses remember. Dr. Schorlemer, a graduating medical student at the time at Parkland Hospital, indicated the back right of his head and said, quote, "This part is just embedded in my brain. This part of his head was blown away, and the brains were exposed," end quote. Robert McClelland, an ER doctor who treated JFK at Parkland, said, quote, "That massive wound in the back of his head, that was probably at least 5 inches in circumference. The right side of the back of his head is essentially gone. Blew out the back of his head and the back part of his brain, the back part of his cerebellum. As I stood there, a bit of his brain fell out onto the cart in front of me," end quote. Clint Hill, the Secret Service agent who jumped onto the back of JFK's limo after the fatal shot, described the wound as catastrophic. Quote, "There's a hole in the skull. I could see in that hole. There was no brain matter left. It had all been blown out," end quote. Pepper Jenkins, also at Parkland immediately following the shooting, recalls of Jackie Kennedy, quote, "One time she came and nudged me with her elbow, and as I looked around, handed me what was in her right hand, which was a big chunk of the president's brain. End quote. Two FBI agents present at the Bethesda autopsy say, quote, there was not too much of the brain left. End quote. In the autopsy photographs, however, an almost undamaged brain is presented, according to those witnesses allowed to see the photographs. After reviewing the official photographs, Douglas Horn, on the Assassination Records Review Board, or ARRB, a legislated independent investigation into the available JFK assassination records, has concluded that the photographs in the National Archives, quote, are not of the president's brain and show much less damage than he sustained when shot in Dallas, end quote. When shown pictures of JFK's wounds during an ARRB hearing in 1997, eyewitness FBI agent Francis O'Neill testified that the wounds in the official autopsy photographs were different than the wounds he remembered, that, quote, I specifically do not recall those being that clean or that fixed up, end quote. The other FBI agent present at the autopsy, James Seibert, testified that, quote, I don't recall anything like this at all during the autopsy. It looks like it could have been reconstructed or something, end quote. Specifically referring to the brain, O'Neill estimates that, quote, more than half of the brain was missing, end quote. O'Neill was then shown color photograph number 46 from the autopsy by the general counsel, Jeremy Gunn, of the ARRB. A view of a brain from the bottom. A photograph which, according to John Stringer, the only photographer present during the autopsy, was never taken. This is an excerpt of their conversation. Quote, Gunn, can you identify that in a reasonable way as appearing to be the what the brain looked like of President Kennedy? O'Neill, no. In what regard does it appear to be different? It appears to be too much. It would seem that the only section of the brain which is missing is this small section over here. To me, that's not consistent with the way I recall seeing it. That looks almost like a complete brain. End quote. Like the fourth bullet that went missing and the original autopsy notes and the first autopsy report, Dr. Humes was in possession of all the original autopsy photographs that the only recorded autopsy photographer, John Stringer, had. One set taken during the autopsy itself, and a second set he took a few days later. Humes's trend continued, as several photos are missing altogether from the National Archives. In addition, the photos that were recorded are denied by the photographer and film developer as being the photos they took and developed. John Stringer, the only recorded photographer during the JFK autopsy, says that several of the photos he took are missing from the National Archives, and that other photos present in the archives are not photos he took, and are on a different type of paper. Stringer further clarifies that he only took pictures of the brain from the top and sides, whereas in the National Archives, there are photographs incorrectly attributed to Stringer of an intact brain taken from the bottom view. Stringer says he took pictures of cross-sections of the brain during his second photography session, which went missing after he gave his photos to the Secret Service. Sandra Spencer, the film developer, says that when she first saw the autopsy photographs in commercially available books, she had, quote, assumed that they were done in, you know, down in Dallas or something, because they were not the ones that I had worked on, end quote. As for the photographs she had actually worked on, Spencer mentioned they looked oddly pristine. She testified to Jeremy Gunn of the ARRB the following, quote, Gunn, do you mean that the body appeared to be clean, had been washed? Is that what you were suggesting? Spencer, yes. And that was different from what you had seen in other autopsy photographs. Is that right? Yes. In other autopsies, they have the opening of the cavity and the removing of vital organs for weighing and stuff of this nature. The only organ that I had seen was a brain that laid beside the body. And that was in the photograph of President Kennedy. Yes. So there was a brain in the photograph beside the body, is that correct? Well, yes, by the side of the body, but it didn't appear that the skull had been cut, peeled back, and the brain removed. None of that was shown. As to whose brain it was, I cannot say. But was it on a cloth or in a bucket, or how was it? No, it was on the mat on the table. Did you see any people in the pictures in addition to President Kennedy, such as bystanders or doctors? I don't remember anybody or any real measuring material, instruments, because normally when you're photographing something like that, you have gauges in there so that you can determine size and everything. Did you see any cards or any identification markers that would identify an autopsy number on the victim, or something of that sort? I don't remember any. End quote. Gunn then asked about a neck wound from the photographs. Quote, do you remember whether the wound was jagged or how that appeared? It was again clean, pristine. No, you know, it wasn't an immediate wound. It had some cleaning done to it or something. End quote. Sandra Spencer then added that all the photographs produced at her development center had watermarks that were not on the photographs they were showing her at the ARRB, and all the autopsy photographs she received and processed should have that watermark and logo on them. Quote, every piece of paper within the house would have the same identical watermarking and logo on it. I can say that the paper was not a piece of paper that was processed or printed out of the photographic center within that time frame. Like I said, the only thing I can think of is that a second set of autopsy pictures was shot for public release if necessary. End quote. Some people are certain the brain was buried with the body. Others insist the brain was sliced up or partitioned into cubes and preserved in formaldehyde. Everyone who was present during the autopsy is certain that the back right side of the skull exploded outward from a bullet, and much of the brain was destroyed, which looks nothing like the brain or body in the official governmental photographs of the JFK autopsy. With regard to another bullet wound in the back, two FBI agents present at the autopsy wrote that the bullet entered, quote, below the shoulders, end quote, corresponding with the only known photo of the wound a few inches below the base of the neck. Warren Commission staffers had instead written in their report, quote, a bullet had entered his back at a point slightly above the shoulder and to the right of the spine, end quote, moving the back wound up a few inches. Gerald Ford, a Warren commissioner, further amended that report before it was officially released to read, quote, a bullet entered the back of his neck at a point slightly to the right of the spine, end quote, significantly altering the site of the back wound from below the shoulders to the back of the neck. Following his death, it was later discovered in declassified personal documents that Gerald Ford had been reporting in real time all Warren Commission deliberations and findings to the FBI during the entire course of that investigation. The president's body is illegally transported out of state without an autopsy. The brain next to the president's body isn't his brain, according to those present at the autopsy. Autopsy photographs are either missing or from an unknown source. The chief autopsy physician lost a bullet, threw his notes and original autopsy report into his fireplace, and rewrote a shorter autopsy report from memory without any notes, is connected to missing autopsy photos, and the location of bullet wounds on the president's body are reworded to change their location. While everything to do with the autopsy and every step of the supposedly independent murder investigation is being fed to an intelligence agency by a future president. You don't have to take a single step away from the facts of what happened, reported by primary actors via sworn testimony, recorded interviews, or firsthand documents, to understand what a mismanaged and mishandled mess this murder investigation began as, continued as, and was concluded as. Medical examiners shouldn't be destroying and concealing evidence. The Kennedy Archive shouldn't be accepting and using JFK autopsy photos not taken by the official autopsy photographer. Warren commissioners shouldn't be altering medical reports and leaking information. Witnesses with relevant information shouldn't be ignored. Some of these actions could conceivably be oversights or mistakes, however unlikely. Others are confirmed to be intentionally misleading and obstructive actions by those invested with the public trust.